Good morning, good morning. We can try. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, love it, love it. My name is Kiara Smalls. How's everyone doing? Is everyone good? Everybody's inspired, excited, motivated? You met someone new? Yes? Or you will meet someone new? Awesome. So welcome to our next panel. Branding and perceptions, how to maximize how you are perceived by others. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the co-founder of City Fit Girls. It's a network for women interested in fitness, running, and weight loss. We provide programs throughout the city that include running, boot camps, meditation, yoga, conversation, all that good stuff. I am also the community relations manager for Indigo, Philly's new bike share program. I hope you all have had a chance to try out bikes. There's actually a station right outside, so if you need anything to do tonight, hope you use Indigo to get around. Shameless plug. But really excited to be here and so excited for this rockstar panel, and we cannot wait to hear from them and to be inspired by them and to take in what they say and to use it for the rest of our day and moving forward. But first, I want to introduce Dori Clark. Dori is our thought leader for today. Dori, she's... So Dori is the author of Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future, and Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. A former presidential campaign spokeswoman, she is a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Entrepreneur, and the World Economic Forum blog. Recognized as a branding expert by the Associated Press, Fortune, and Inc. magazine, Clark is a marketing strategy consultant and speaker for clients including Google, Microsoft, Yale University, Fidelity, and the World Bank. She is an adjunct professor of business administration at Duke University's Fuqua School. Did you like that? A business and a visiting professor for IE Business School in Madrid. She has guest lectured at Harvard Business School, the Harvard Kennedy School, Stanford University's Graduate School of Business, and the Wharton School, and the MIT Sloan School of Management and more. She is a frequent guest on MSNBC and appears in worldwide media, including NPR, The Wall Street Journal, and the BBC. Basically, we want to hear what Dori has to say. So without further ado, please welcome Dori.
Thank you. So I'm actually not going to go over there because I've learned through hard-fought experience that if we double up the mics, the audio freaks out. So we wouldn't want that to happen for you guys. But it's great to be here, and I wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the talented panelists that are here to talk about their experiences with personal branding. Starting on my right, Meredith Feinman is the founder of FinePoint, a communications and professional development company. She has written for Fast Company, Forbes, and the Harvard Business Review, and this is a special treat because she flew in from Los Angeles for this conference. So we're really glad to have her here. We next have Tracy Santilli. Tracy is the Executive Vice President of Public Relations and Social Media for Tierney. And yeah, in the house. Tierney works with major companies like McDonald's, Verizon, and more. So we're gonna be hearing her insights. We have Kate Hermans right next to me. Kate is the Vice President and Worldwide Brand General Manager for Immunology and HCV, the Hepatitis C vaccine, for Bristol Myers Squibb. And on my left, we have Aliza Licht, who is a fashion communications executive and the author of a book called Leave Your Mark, a career guide that focuses on building your personal brand. And Aliza and I are actually both gonna be doing a book signing right after this session, immediately afterwards. So if you wanna come commune with us, please feel free to join us at 12:30 for the book signing.
Good plug, Dori.
Yeah. See, it's all about the brand. So I wanted to start out with a question for the panel, to ask a little bit about their personal brand journeys. Because I think sometimes the most revealing sessions are the ones where people talk about some of the mistakes that they've made along the way. And so, Kate, if I can actually start with you, I'm curious if you can just share a little bit about how your notion of your personal brand as a professional has expanded and grown over time, and whether, if early in your career there were any personal brand mistakes that you made that you might want to share about how you learned that and overcame that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have worked in the public sector, the private sector, across multiple industries and multiple functions. And so I needed to figure out how to package all of that into a story people could understand. And so lessons I learned early on was, as I was telling my story, I would sort of trip over sort of what the reason to believe in me was. And so people didn't get what I wanted to do next. And they couldn't figure out how my journey had gotten me to where I was and where I wanted to go. So I learned over time to really develop that story of the reason to believe in me, and then to be amazingly consistent in who I told it to and how I said it.
That's great. I think that's a really common question that I hear a lot, is for people who are sort of Renaissance people, that maybe they've had a lot of jobs or a lot of careers, how do you tell your story and create that narrative? So that's a really important point. Tracy, how about you?
Sure. I've actually spent all of my career, I've been pretty fortunate that I knew early on what I wanted to do, and I'm an agency girl by heart. I've spent most of my time working in communications agencies, and that's always been my passion. I think, you know, one of the obstacles for me, which is a little bit ironic, if you think about my role and what my profession is, was really not putting myself out there. Candidly, you know, I speak all the time now, but that wasn't always a comfort zone for me. It was actually a source of anxiety. So thankfully, I've had a lot of really strong mentors and managers that I've trusted in my network, who absolutely believed in me, believed in my ability, and have kind of pushed me forward so I was able to push myself out there. I'm a little bit of a type A, so I definitely over-prepare. That's one of my, you know, coping mechanisms to make sure that I am ready for speaking engagements and I'm providing content that resonates with the audience. But I also find that through that journey and every opportunity that I've had, I get so energized by the people that I meet, by the people that I engage with, and certainly when all is said and done, I have a great time. But I think initially not getting out there and kind of pushing myself to do that and continuing to do that every day. So
it's a really important point, and I think something that I hear frequently is, especially for female professionals, from early on in our careers, we're often inculcated with the idea that we need to be really good at helping others shine, and that is a really important thing that you need to learn. But if that's the only game that you continue to play over time, then eventually the game changes and we lag behind. So being able to make that shift is really important. Meredith, what mistakes have you made and what have you learned from it?
So I've been a freelance writer for 10 years, so my name has been out there for a long time. But about 5 years ago, so I got my start sort of being out there and being a public persona and learning how to be a woman in a public way, was actually with a dating blog. I used to run a site called 51st J-Dates, which I still claim was way ahead of its time in terms of its sort of satirization and commentary on young adulthood and dating, and it really was what launched me, though now I do something very different, all about empowerment through PR, teaching women how to brag. But I often wonder whether or not if I had to do it again. I mean, the second you start writing about your personal life, particularly when it comes to romance, it puts you in a certain category and in a certain light. And so it took me a long time and many years of writing about business and entrepreneurship to sort of bury all of that, because I got a lot of attention as a dating writer, and that was sort of what I was known for. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me and ask how the blog is. But at the end of the day, it taught me how to put myself out there, and it taught me how to be a woman in public, which is not easy, and that's something that I always talk and counsel on. And so I would do it all over again, even though I got my start, if you will, as a public persona, talking about cute boys.
That's great. Thank you so much. And Aliza, let's wrap the question with you. What mistakes have you made, and what have you learned from them?
Okay, starting with majoring in neurobiology and physiology in college. And deciding in my junior year that, no, I didn't want to be a plastic surgeon like I thought I did. Although I still maintain now, getting to the age where maybe it would have been a good skill. But I decided that I really went down the wrong path, and that my childhood passion of fashion was really something that I wanted to embark on. So I had to switch gears my senior year in college, of course, not being able to change a major, having to complete that course load, and then figure out how do you get experience when you have no experience, which is a lot of what I speak to in my book, Leave Your Mark. So I went to fashion. I began on the magazine side of the industry and then moved on to public relations. And in fact, it's kind of ironic, but my book teaches personal branding, and I'm actually living my book right now. I have been at DKNY as the head of global communications for 17 years. I started, if any of you are on Twitter, I'm DKNY PR Girl, or formerly was DKNY PR Girl on Twitter. And I built a very public persona of over 500,000 Twitter followers, which was anonymous for many years. And over the course of 6 years, it became known that I was that person. So now you have this public persona that is basically a fashion illustration. You have the real me, and then you have sort of all this baggage that comes along with changing your career. I recently resigned from DKNY, and I wrote a book, Leave Your Mark, and the Twitter handle is no longer. So I am at the point now where I am actually living what I wrote for other people, which is really trying to define what my personal brand is. And the exercise that I did for myself was I wrote down all my skill sets, everything I've learned in 20 years of fashion. And then I looked at it really closely and thought, okay, if this was a capabilities deck, can I do all of these things? Can I do them well? But more importantly, do I like doing them? And sort of figuring out what of those things I want to be known for and pursue. So I haven't figured out the end game yet, but I am on the journey, as all of you are, and I think it's a great exercise to do.
That's great. And Aliza, I want to follow up on that. You, especially with your background in fashion, you have written about the fact that fashion can quote unquote, fashion can be a weapon, yes, in your personal brand. What do you mean by that, and how can people apply that?
So I think that, of course, we have to have the skills, we have to have the personality, the communication skills, the interpersonal skills to succeed, and more importantly, to be likable, because I think that at the end of the day, people do business with people they like. But at the same time, I believe that the image that you're portraying can be used against you or for you. And I'm a firm believer in anything you can control, you control. And in my book, I use an example of if you were in a situation where you needed a lawyer, and the lawyer came in to meet with you, and it looked like his suit hadn't been dry cleaned in months, and it looked too small, and it looked like it was probably his only one, would you intuitively start to judge his credentials? And I challenge all of you, because I guarantee you, you would. So I do think it's about the whole package and how you present. And when you stand up in a meeting and you're presenting an idea, what does that sound like? What does that look like? What does that feel like?
All right, I have one more follow-up.
Okay.
For people like me, who don't necessarily have a good intuitive fashion sense, aside from just talking to a friend or hiring a stylist, what's one thing that we can do to kind of clue in if it doesn't come naturally?
Buy like 20 magazines. You'll probably be the only people who actually buy 20 magazines in this day and age, unfortunately, but you buy them. Rip out tear sheets of women that you think look good. Put them up, Olivia Pope style, on the window or the wall. And really draw the common denominators in those looks. And you might be someone who picks pictures where everyone's wearing a blazer and a collared shirt, and you might be like, wow, okay, so I think I'm into that professional style. And you will learn through visual cues what you want your visual identity to be.
Nice. All right, so Tracy, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
So a lot of folks here, you know, some of you are very attuned to your personal brand and have been thinking about this a lot. Probably some of you may have not emphasized that as much. This may be hopefully a turning point where you say, all right, I need to get serious about this. If that is the case, if there are folks here who are just getting started, what would be your best tip for somebody in the early stages? What's the first thing they should do in terms of kickstarting their personal branding effort?
Before I answer that, show of hands, how many of you Google someone before you meet them? We all do, right? Now keep your hand up if you've actually Googled yourself in the last 2 weeks. What a disconnect. None of us are self-aware, right? So I would say audit yourself, I think, first and foremost, and if possible, you know, you have to enlist an executive coach to do it. There's something to be said for having friends, family, colleagues interviewed and getting unfiltered, unbiased feedback on how you're perceived. Of course, in tandem with that, Google yourself. It's amazing that every tweet, every picture that you post becomes a culmination of who you are in your daily interactions, and I don't think people realize that that really paints a picture of you. So you may have a very distinct perception of yourself, and through this audit, you'll probably find that the perception others have of you is vastly different. And that's not always a bad thing. I think that that can be a good thing, but either way, you're armed with the right information, which can then help you create that roadmap for what is your narrative, what are the reasons to believe when you're communicating with people.
That's really great, thank you. And in fact, to build on that, one suggestion that I have in my book, Reinventing You, if you guys have not done this, a really easy thing you can do, like in 2 seconds right after this panel, is to set up a Google alert for yourself. And if you don't know how to do that, just Google alert. and that way you can just type in your name. It's a good idea to do it with quotation marks so that you don't, you know, get listings for everyone else in the world named Jennifer or Sarah. But put out that Google alert, and then anytime you're mentioned on the web, you will be emailed instantly. And it's just a way to keep track in real time of whether you're being mentioned. If it is positive, you can thank the person. If it is negative, you can correct it as soon as possible. So great point. Meredith, what would you recommend for people in the early days of personal branding?
Sure, so just to harken back to what you were saying, I sort of talk to people about how you're building a mosaic of you, and I will, if it's not consistent, and if it's someone can't tell who you are, what you're about, what you want, especially if it's a journalist, someone booking you for a conference in 30 seconds or less, they're gonna move on. And so you have to look and see if that mosaic, sort of when you put it all together, whether it looks like you or whether it looks like disjointed and their pieces out of place, and that's something really important to keep in mind. So 10 years ago, I was interviewing for a PR internship, and I never thought I'd go into PR, which is now amusing, but I remember in the meeting, the guy said to me, if you do nothing else when you leave this meeting, buy the domain of your name. And that is one of the first things I tell clients. So the first thing I would recommend is to go buy all of the domains of your name. If you have a more common name, consider using a middle initial, but I don't mean just .com, .net, .edu. Now they have like .xxx, like maybe that's a little much, but you know, all of those that you possibly can. GoDaddy always has coupons. I was not paid to say that, but so definitely go do that just in case. You never know what's gonna happen. I had a situation with a client who was dealing with someone with a similar name, and that caused her a lot of trouble. So you definitely wanna have ownership of all of that. The second is, and I sort of asked Dory before this panel whether or not I could swear, was just sort of like, fuck it. Stop worrying about the fact that you haven't been out there before. It's never too late to create a personal brand. It's never too late to put yourself out there. In fact, it is a lot harder to change the conversation than it is to start the conversation. So what I was alluding to with my dating blog is I am still burying it in certain ways. It still pops up really high. So it would have been a lot easier for me to build a personal brand as a writer and speaker and entrepreneur had I not done that, though I'm still thankful for it, as I said. So it's just never, there's no perfect time, there's no perfect background. Just congratulate yourself on the fact that you have chosen to put yourself out there at all.
Meredith, that's really interesting, and I have a follow-up for you. For folks who may be in the process of rebranding, who may have elements of their past, shady or otherwise, that they want to bury, how do you recommend doing that? How would you take control of your online reputation and try to get the most relevant things to you today at the top, as opposed to the dating blog, which is sort of outdated in terms of your personal brand? What steps are you taking?
Yeah, so that is something that I work with clients for a very long time. But at least to start, acknowledge who you are and who you want to be and how that is different from the message that's currently there. I do an exercise with clients or with trainings where, boil yourself down to two sentences. If you can't do that, you're gonna have trouble with visibility and with building this overall brand. So that's the first thing to do. Once you know that, once you know what your one to two topics are, you have to specialize before you can generalize. If you think of anybody who's a thought leader now or who is a visionary or whatever, commenting on trends, they never started just commenting on trends. They started with something highly specific. So build outwards from there. Then I would say you just gotta hit people over the head with who you are. And that takes time, that takes effort, and you just have to assume that everybody's dumb and lazy and they are online, and so you just gotta, in journalism there's an adage that you have to tell people what you're gonna tell them, you have to tell it to them, and then you have to tell them what you told them. So I always keep that in mind, because the shelf life of a tweet is maybe an hour. You think you're repeating yourself, but every time there's a new audience, there's a new set of eyeballs, and it's not as readily apparent as you think as to what you do and what you want to talk about.
Great, thank you so much. So Aliza, for you, what would you recommend as an initial step for people who are diving into their personal brand?
Well, I think everything Meredith just said is completely correct. And I think first and foremost, what's the end goal, you guys? Why are you building it? What is your measurement for success? Is it to be, someone who has a byline on a blog somewhere in a newspaper? Is it to grow your business? You have to kind of think about what you're trying to achieve. And I do think that, going back to sort of cleaning the landscape, if you do find that you have a history that doesn't match what you want your future to be, cleaning that all up before you start pitching yourself, right? Because social media is exhibit B, really. So I think just being very careful to prepare for yourself before you put yourself out there. And I definitely think knowing your elevator pitch and also tailoring it depending on who your audience is.
Great point. One thing that I talk about as a framework in my book, actually, is that when it comes to especially reinventing your personal brand, there's really a three-part process. Number one is getting a clear handle on what your current brand is. Number two is creating that vision, that proactive vision of what you want it to be, because oftentimes just seeing the disconnect between the two enables you to figure out what steps you need to take. And then third is figuring out the actions that you want to take on a day-to-day basis, whether it's taking on different leadership roles or getting active on social media to live out your brand and make sure that your actions are consistent in terms of spreading it. So I think that's a great point. And finally, Kate, your best tip for people getting started.
Yeah, so maybe tying a couple of things together. So if you were to ask me what my brand is, I would tell you that I'm a globally minded entrepreneur who, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can hold it up.
I think it was working.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Excellent.
So if you were to ask me what my brand is, I would tell you I'm a globally minded entrepreneur who is really great at building, fixing, or growing businesses. And I would ask each and every one of you, if you're stopped in the elevator, can you iterate a phrase like that about you? And so spend some time thinking about who you are, what matters to you, and build, if you will, your own personal marketing plan. Because you are the CEO of the business of you, and it is super important for you to think about what that looks like. And think about what your values are, what matters to you, where you want to go, and how you want to get there. And then be super, super consistent in relaying that information on a regular basis. And I would encourage you to do a couple of things with that. One is I would encourage you to get out there with networking groups that are in your area and start practicing that brand management and see whether or not what you have to say is really resonating. And it's really great if you do it in a forum like this one, because in this forum, there are lots of people who don't work in your company or your industry. And if you're using a vernacular that doesn't resonate with the people you're talking to, then you haven't boiled down the essence of you to a point where you can communicate. And then the second thing I would encourage you to do is have the courage to ask people in the hallways about how they perceive you, and have the strength to hear what they have to say and the willingness to act on it as you go forward, because it is a great way of really sanity checking how you're showing up each and every day at work, in the grocery store, no matter where you are, how you are really living your brand.
Kate, that's great.
Can I add something?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add as well, and I think I've been highlighting this a little bit, figure out what you're comfortable with. That's the first thing to do, because it is very hard to be a woman in public. When you're policed from your voice to your ankles, should you wear heels? Should you not wear heels? Should you wear makeup? Should you not wear makeup? Should you be ambitious? Should you be loud? Women that are loud and proud is often viewed as dangerous. And I can speak to that from personal experience. But figure out what you're comfortable with when it comes to putting yourself out there. Because, you know, that's one thing I work with clients on, but something to remember is it's really easy to take shots at someone who's standing out there. And I don't think that that's discussed enough, how scary and difficult and different it is to be a woman in public versus a man. And whether that's just with a Twitter handle, and whether that's just with the website, or speaking, or what have you, I just want to communicate how difficult that is, and to acknowledge that at least giving it a go requires a certain level of courage that is very different from what it requires from a man.
Thank you, Meredith. Now, Kate, I wanted to ask a quick follow-up to you. Tracy was alluding to this before, and I know you have some interesting thoughts about it, about doing a personal brand audit. How do you begin to ask the right people? How do you know who to ask, or what are the basic things that you can do in order to really get a pulse on where you are now?
I think that certainly, I think all the things that we've talked about, so the Googling yourself and making sure that the images of you that are showing up are the images you would like people to see. So I remind my now college-age daughter to be very careful about all those posts with beer bottles in the hands. It'll come back to bite her later on. But I think it's also about finding mentors in your life, whether they're in your organization or in other facets of your life, who you can trust to tell you the truth. Not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And sitting down and really understanding how you perceive yourself, which I think Tracy was talking about, versus how other people see you, and then finding ways to act on it. So I'll tell you an example of when I was working a couple companies ago, and I was working in a department that had the word strategic in it. And so I asked one of our very senior executives in the company just for his perception on me and what I needed to do to enhance my career. And imagine my surprise when he said, well, we know you're really good at getting things done, but we're still waiting to see how strategic you are. Really? I've got that in my title. But, you know, it was a great thing for
me to hear, and so I went back to my manager and said, okay, I apparently need to figure out how I'm going to show up in this way, and I need your help to help me identify a project that gives me the right level of visibility so that a year from now, 6 months from now, I can go back and say, now what do you think? And that was really an important eye-opener for me because, quite honestly, that's not something I would have thought somebody would have thought about me. So, like I said, have the courage to ask, the strength to hear, and the willingness to make the change so that you can actually be showing up the way in which you want to be perceived.
That's a great example. Thank you very much. And just a quick note for the audience here. In about 10 minutes or so, we're going to be taking questions from the audience. So if you have questions that are percolating in your mind, get them ready, get them formulated. And in a few minutes, I'll ask people to start lining up so that we can hear what's on your mind as well. But in the interim, I want to talk to Tracy. It looks like you might have something to add, then I have another question
perfect.
For you as well.
I wanted to expand a little bit on mentors. I think everyone in this room will probably agree that they are an incredible resource. They give unfiltered, unbiased perspective, you know, validated by years of experience. I think one of the things that we tend to do, though, with mentors is kind of put them on this lofty pedestal. We put, that's shocking because I usually have a big mouth. but we tend to put mentors on a lofty pedestal and hold them up as if we're looking for the one, if you will. And I think that mentors are in our everyday lives. Think about, quite frankly, people that you admire and inspire in the office, out of the office. You know, find 3 to 4 of them and study them. You know, how do they present themselves in meetings? How do they handle conflict? Really model those good behaviors and build the relationship naturally. In my experience, I literally found one of my mentors through a new business email blast. I was really impressed with the new venture. I went online, I started looking, you know, into his background, and lo and behold, through a simple, hey, congratulations, really impressed, began a dialogue, and he's become one of the best mentors that I've had, but it was very informal, and I think that if we can uncomplicated a little bit and just start to realize that there's so many resources around us. We don't have to hold the, you know, press and say, oh, I got to find the one. There could be many of them in our daily lives.
I love it. I love it. That's great. All right. Real quick, yeah. Meredith, and then I want to turn in a different direction with Tracy.
Yeah, just quickly. To add to that, you know, there isn't sort of one mentor. I wrote about finding your sort of career octopus, these varying tentacles of people that help you with different things. So when I am trying to figure out a pricing model for a new bootcamp of mine versus something else, I'm going to go to different people. So mentors can be, you sort of got to know where you're going to get your bread buttered, if you will, and it doesn't, someone doesn't have to be sort of an overall mentor. I also want to say that you have to be careful with mentors, and a lot of it has to be trusting you yourself and your gut. I am lucky in that I have a tremendous network of people that have supported me. But I took one mentor's advice way too literally, and it was very problematic for my business, and I'm thankful now. But you have to be really careful and who you let into that world as well. I mean, it's a two-way street, and mentors learn a lot from you. It's not just your learning from them. And trust yourself when people are giving you advice and giving you guidance, that it's also, you know, listen to your gut. I had a mentor of mine of 5 years who was now voted off the island of my life. But he had helped me for 5 years, and we were sitting in his office, and he said to me, you know, entrepreneurship is really hard. You know, maybe you should just get a job at one of my companies. You know, and I was like, oh, great, there's like leadership positions, there's all this sort of stuff, even though it's not happening. He's like, no, you know, you might need someone. We create a lot of marriages. So it was like a very heavy table that I couldn't flip over, Teresa style. But be careful. I mean, mentors are wonderful, but you are also just as valuable.
Important point, thank you. And Tracy, so you do a lot of corporate branding, you work for major companies, and I was curious to hear your thoughts about how an individual brand is similar to or different from a corporate brand. What do we need to keep in mind?
Sure, I think that corporate branding, there's a lot of opportunities and learnings that you can apply to personal. I mean, at its core, any kind of branding is really designed to build reputation and to earn trust among your audience. And I think that, you know, fundamentally, the very same attributes and characteristics of really strong corporate brands today can be applied to personal brand. For example, you know, be consistent. Look at every aspect of your communications, whether it's online or face-to-face. Be consistent with your messaging. Ford has always done that really, really well, right? So they've been known as a beacon of reliability. They have weathered multiple storms within the automotive industry, and yet they've never wavered from that messaging. You know, secondly, I think staying relevant. We get mired in the day-to-day, and sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, to stay ahead of the latest trends and research and information isn't always easy, but good brands are doing that because it helps them not only position themselves as experts, but also stay top of mind with their consumers. And I think Nike's a really great example of that, right? So Nike is relevant not just with the elite athlete, but also with the everyday athlete. And I think that that's another thing we can do. In terms of tips for staying relevant, just as a personal aside, it is hard to read the latest white papers and videos in the industry, but even if you can carve out 1 hour a week, I often try to find a pile of information and articles I stack up to read through that. Or I also have an hour commute every day. I don't watch it, but I do listen to TED Talks. So there's always this snackable and shareable content that you can apply and consistently position yourself as an expert. And I would say, you know, lastly, forge connections. You know, multiple brands are doing this today, and the ones that are poised for success long term are doing that in new ways. So, you know, put the coffee cup aside for now, but let's take Starbucks. Looking beyond caffeine as a transaction, they have Wi-Fi in their locations. They have meeting rooms now set up. They have in-store music. They're really looking to connect and engage on a regular basis with their consumers. Well, people love making connections with people. That you could also apply in your own life. So to Kate's earlier point, network. Talk to peers in the industry. Talk to people that maybe are outside of your industry for perspective. I mean, you wouldn't think I'd have a McKinsey app on my phone, but I do because it gives me this really great perspective outside of the world of communications.
Fantastic, thank you. So if you guys want to start lining up, if you have questions you'd like to ask, please feel free to line up at the various microphones. And I want to just ask Aliza a question. You obviously were running a major Twitter handle, very active on social media. I'd love to get your thoughts about the role of social media in personal branding. What would you suggest as a good strategy for some of these professionals who may especially be feeling a little bit time-strapped, because we know social media could be 24/7, but probably should not. So how do we best balance that?
Well, really, really quickly, because I know we're pressed for time, I will tell you that I hired my assistant at DKNY. I met her on Twitter a year and a half prior. She had a really funny blog that caught my attention. Who wore it better, DKNY PR girl or JLo? DKNY PR girl wore it better. And she asked me for career advice, and we had a quick phone conversation. And it turns out that she was dying to work in fashion, but she was living in Austin, selling artificial turf at a manufacturing company. So 4 years later, she now does celebrity dressing at DKNY from one tweet.
Nice.
You can follow her on Twitter. Her name's @MissJennaB. She's very funny. But it is a brilliant way to network. It's the biggest cocktail party in the world, you guys, and everyone's invited. You're not going to go up to a group of people chatting at a cocktail party and just be like, hey, if you don't know anybody. It's hard, right? On Twitter, you can talk to anyone. So I highly recommend it, and my book takes you through the steps on how to build that social profile so it's not so intimidating.
Excellent, thanks, Aliza. So we'll start right in the middle there.
Good afternoon.
Let us know if this is for, aimed at a particular person or just in general.
It's actually going to be aimed at everyone. My name is Hania Sharp Brown. I work in communications and public relations. And Meredith, you mentioned earlier about teaching women how to brag about themselves. And one of the things that I struggle with is that in PR and communications, you're used to being behind the scenes. So the satisfaction you get is seeing what you're working or branding, the satisfaction you get is seeing that, you know, in lights or whatever. How do you go about bragging about yourself when it's something that you just actually love to do, and you're not necessarily interested in being in the limelight? You know, what are some of the resources that you all use or tools that you use to brag about yourself in that sense?
Great. Let's have Meredith answer that and then speed round from the rest of us if you want to weigh in.
Well, thank you for asking that question. Yeah, I mean, you're so not alone in not knowing how to brag about yourself that that's what I do for a living. But it's really hard. It's very uncomfortable to talk about yourself. What I talk about and care about building is vocabulary to talk positively about professional achievement. It doesn't exist. People are telling you what not to say. Don't say just, don't say like, don't do upspeak. It's like, how are you supposed to even, you know, put a toe in there? And that's actually what I'm gonna say, is gradually see what feels good to you, see what feels comfortable. Whether it's a small blog, whether it's through Twitter. J-Lo has nothing on you, like I just said.
It was a sketch, by the way, not me.
But yeah, I mean, just acknowledging it is sort of really important and really hard to do, because it's just so hard to talk about yourself, particularly as women. You know, historically, you're supposed to be meek, you're supposed to be pretty and not talk. And so not being afraid to at least speak about yourself is really important. One micro action I talk a lot about, and this isn't online, I think that in person is just as important as online, and they need to match up. And that, I think there's a disconnect there. People think that if they have their personal brand on lockdown online, that's enough. The in person has to match up. And so whether it be you're practicing how you introduce yourself, so that is something I talk about a lot, that matters. There's a huge difference in saying, oh, I'm Meredith, I'm a writer and I work in communications. Two, I'm Meredith Feynman, I run a company all about empowering professionals through public relations, I just wrote a piece on X, Y, and Z. I mean, pick a project you're proud of, pick something small. There are opportunities all around you to promote yourself. Something as small as your email signature. I believe that business cards matter. Use them to show your personality. Once you sort of flip this self-promotion switch, I think you'll realize that it doesn't have to start with online. It starts with even simply meeting someone.
And just to add to that, all great, LinkedIn is where you talk about yourself. Your website is where you talk about yourself. Your website is your new resume. That is your resume. So those two things are assets for speaking about yourself so you can feel more comfortable. You can just have it at the end of your signature and people can discover you too.
Awesome. Quick tip from Tracy?
Well, you kind of hit on where I was going to go. Start online. It's so much easier to talk about yourself online than it is in face-to-face because it doesn't seem that you're bragging as much. And I think that's a great baby step. And then the second thing I would offer is I'm just going to say it, I have the best team in the world, I have the best management in the world, and they kind of do it for me, which is really nice because it's all for one and one for all, and I think if you surround yourself, it's that old, you know, you get branded by association, and that can be a really good thing. If you have great people surrounding you, you're propping them up, they're propping you up, and it becomes a mutually beneficial relationship all around.
That's great. All right, I want to make sure we get in as many questions as possible, so we'll go over to the left, ma'am. Yes, absolutely. So how do we knock off the imposter? That's the question. So let's start with Kate.
So I think a couple of things. One is, I think one of the suggestions that you heard earlier on, maybe in other sessions, is putting a middle initial or something that differentiates you for there.
Mike.
Oop, can you hear me now? I don't think I can get the mic any closer to my mouth, is using a middle initial, because that will start to differentiate you if that middle initial is different. And I think the other thing, just picking up on what Lisa said, is LinkedIn is a fantastic place. LinkedIn is not a resume. It doesn't have to be. You can actually put a lot about yourself out there that are words. Think of it as a search engine tool. And the more you're using words that really reflect who you are, the authentic you, and you're out there and you're posting information, then you're going to start to pop up a lot more than the imposter.
Excellent. Any other quick tips?
Yeah, so just middle initial, middle name. It doesn't matter if you want to just give yourself a new name for online, as long as it's all the same, as long as it's all consistent, the Twitter handle, the Instagram, the LinkedIn link, the website. At least it wasn't in the case of a client of mine who had the same name as a serial killer, so.
Well, and one thing, too.
At least it's not that.
I was going to say, too, I think we've talked a lot today about pushing content out there and how important it is that it's relevant and that it resonates, but I think the other piece of it is, and you kind of alluded to this, Aliza, earlier, but just want to sit on it for just a minute more, is making sure that when you're engaging with that wider audience, that you're engaging. You want to have a conversation. You don't want to just set it and forget it. You want to make sure that you could even set up alerts that you find out when people are talking about your content so you can continue that dialogue, because I think that's equally as important, that you're not just pushing it out, but you're creating an exchange, which ultimately adds value too.
And just one last thing that's really important. When you figure out what you want your personal brand to stand for, create a filter for yourself and define really clearly the types of things you should and should not be speaking about online, and stick to it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Let's go over here.
Yay. Hello, my name is Yolanda, and just this year I launched a resume writing company because I've been doing it for years, so I'm going to, you know, do it myself. So it's Yolanda Knows Resumes and Job Search Strategies. Now my question is, I call myself the jobs seeker stress reliever, and I post about job searching tips and positivity and spirit and love and joy and motivation. But then I have a picture of my daughter, and she's 4, and she's cute, and her outfits or school or something that we're doing. So I want to relaunch my brand officially next year and really go full force. Should I take down the pictures of
yes.
my daughter?
Yeah. Yes.
Do I have to create a new profile or just take down the things that don't fit? What do you suggest?
You know what? Create, you know, have your personal Facebook page. I mean, separate it, because if you're building a brand, your brand needs to resonate professionally. And as adorable as I'm sure your daughter is, it's not the place for it.
And that's also just an unfair bias, by the way. That's totally true. And I have told many clients with pictures of their kids. Unfortunately, it's just an unfair bias.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we killed that one fast. Great. Okay. Thank you. Let's go to the back middle. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Once you've achieved consistency between how you want to be perceived and how you are perceived, how would you scale? How would you go to the next step and increase scope? And I know it's industry specific, but what are the one or two first things that you would do?
And just to clarify, when you say how would you achieve scale, what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, you've taken it from a more intimate place to something that now you feel, because there's that consistency and you're standing firmly in a place that you understand and that your audience understands, how do you make that bigger and larger in scope?
So to raise your brand profile?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, fantastic. Who would like to weigh in? It looks like Meredith, you'd like to go
first?
Yeah,
I would say don't be afraid to ask. For other people to promote you, to do an interview in someone else's newsletter, to interview some of your friends for a newsletter or your website. If you don't ask the questions, I mean, the answer is always no, rather. And that's just an important thing to know. I've written for every outlet under the sun, and none of them came to me. I mean, people ask me all the time, like, how do I write for Inc.? How do I write for Harvard Business Review? It's just because I pitched the crap out of myself. And I remember harassing the editor-in-chief of Inc. so much that I thought his response to me was gonna be like, can you please stop spamming me? And instead it was like, do you wanna call him? So just A, keep throwing shit at the wall, and B, is don't be afraid to ask other people to then help promote you as well, because you and then promote them in return. It's important to understand also you want to let the people around you shine too.
Okay. One more speed round answer. Anyone want to weigh in? Does that cover it? Okay, great. We're going fast. So yes, ma'am, up the front.
As someone who's starting to build their own profile and get themselves up on social media, as well as keeping your online profile, as well as when you go to meet someone face-to-face consistent, how do you fight against different stereotypes? And just because I come from a Hispanic background, I'm also a female who isn't afraid to speak her mind, and there's like a lot of negative stigmas with that, so how would you go about handling that and fighting all those negative stigmas?
I think it's a balance. I think anything we do is a balance today. First of all, as it relates to your social profiles, I think consistency, we've kind of beaten that to death a little bit, but that's critical. So your image across all of your platforms should be similar. Your messaging should be similar. But I think there's a balance between connecting with people and having relationships, but then also making sure you have to be yourself and you have to be authentic to who you are, but you also have to temper that so that you don't cause fatigue, or what I like to say is oversharing, alienate people. And I think that that's a delicate balance, but making sure that you're true to yourself, but then at the same time being cognizant of, if you're sharing too little, you're never gonna let people see your value and what you represent. But if you're oversharing on issues that are hypersensitive, that's not a good idea either, because then you're gonna lose your base, and then you're gonna lose and make people feel like they don't connect with you. But I think that you should be very proud of your heritage, and you should use that to your advantage, because that's authentic to who you are, and how does that, you know, culminate in what you're trying to accomplish and your end goal.
That's great, Tracy. Kate, I know, had a comment.
Yeah, I just want to build off of that. I think you have to be authentic, because if you're not yourself, it's going to show pretty quickly. So I agree, it's a balance, so you need to think about how you want to show up every day and how you're going to manage that brand. But if you're not yourself, you can't be anyone else. Everyone else is taken, and you're just going to lose where you are in the process if you don't really just be proud of who you are and what you stand for. And to be quite honest, if others can't appreciate that, then they're probably not the business contacts you want to have anyway.
That's great. Well, I just wanted to weigh in really quickly with a thought, and we'll go to you. Just to share a little bit of research from Robert Cialdini, who is a great organizational psychologist. He actually had an insight that he shared when I interviewed him for my book, Reinventing You. He said that that there is, for whatever reason, sort of a quirk of human culture, that it is received very differently when you are sharing information about yourself in a written form versus a verbal form. And so something that he suggests when you are meeting people for the first time in order to create a positive view in that person of you prior to the meeting, is his little life hack, is a few days before the meeting, send them an email. The email should say, you know, the header should be something like, in advance of our meeting on Thursday. And it would basically say, you know, Joe, I'm really looking forward to meeting you on Thursday. In order to make the meeting as efficient and productive as possible, I wanted to share with you in advance some of my experience with regard to whatever it is you're gonna be talking about. In that message, you do maybe one paragraph where you just lay out what your background, what your experience is. They may not take the time to research you and Google you in advance, but they're gonna read that email, and that's where you're able to put in your credentials so that when you walk in the door from that first minute, they know who you are and they respect your background. So, Aliza, let's go to you.
Yeah, that totally ruined my comment. No, I'm kidding. we have to just go back to Kate one second, but that was great. Rule of thumb. No matter where you're posting, if you wouldn't feel comfortable seeing your post as a full page in the New York Times, do not post it, period, end of report. Doesn't matter if you have 200 followers, 10 followers, 7 million followers, it can be used against you.
Important point. All right, we have time for one more question, and I'm sorry to disappoint the other.
Can I add one more?
The other takers.
One more
thing. Oh, okay,
yeah,
let's go to you, and then we'll take the last question.
I'll be very quick. I'm sorry that you have to deal with that. Some of that garbage comes with the territory. And I can't pretend like I know what that's like. I am white. I acknowledge that that is a privilege. And that is a huge piece of, I mean, that's a completely different panel, book, whole other thing. But, you know, that's just, yeah. But I'm sorry. And that garbage comes with the territory, and it doesn't mean that you can't get beyond it, but it's the reality of 2015, and it's crappy.
All right, thank you, great. So we're gonna go over here for the last one. Sorry to the other folks. If you have questions and wanna talk to us, please feel free to come up afterwards. I know Elisa and I are running off to our book signing, but you can hang with us there. The other folks, I'm sure, are gonna be up on stage and you can grab them there. Let's go to you, ma'am.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, it just died. Could you either scream at us or come up to the front? Thank you so much.
Go to that mic. Yeah. Look at those legs. Oh my God.
But as I say all that, I'm branding myself. I have a good amount of followers and people perceive me as, you know, a woman who empowers other women. But the problem that I'm having is men. I mean, men who may.
Don't we all?
Same.
Best comment ever.
I'm having a problem with men. I run into men all the time who makes billions, millions of dollars. And instead of taking me serious as a woman, they're kind of looking at me as a piece of meat. And it's not okay to me. So my question is how can I change that?
Do we have another 3 to 4 hours?
Yeah. So quick takes on that. So men are an issue. How do we get men to take you more seriously? Important question. Thanks very much. Looks like you want to weigh in, Meredith,
sure.
And whoever else wants to do the speed round.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been hit on in meetings. I have been sent inappropriate messages at conferences. It's gross. It's gross. Again, as I said, we need like another 3 to 4 hours or maybe an entirely different conference. But I wish I had good advice for this because I think to some degree, all of us struggle with that. But I don't even really know what to say except give them all you got, show them hell, and if they don't want to take you seriously, then fuck them. Like
not if, literally.
Not literally. but you know, and also I have worked with models before, and I've seen that bias. I have a client who's a model right now. And she's dealing with that with an organization she launched. And that is a particularly very interesting bias. Cameron Russell's TED talk about winning the genetic lottery, you should, if you haven't seen it. Her name is Cameron Russell. She's a model. She's also the daughter of Robin Chase, who founded Zipcar. She talks about how she won the genetic lottery, about being a model. And the bias
and the family lottery.
Yeah, and the family lottery. But there are a lot of models launching businesses right now, and I think someone like a Chrissy Teigen has shown that she is an amazing personality and person beyond that. But that's also, you know, a particular cultural bias.
Great tip. All right, we're going to do speed round. Elisa, do you have any quick comment on that?
I think just plow through them. You do not let them stop you. Do not let them deter you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, quick last words of advice. Kate, what's your take?
I think you just need to be prepared, come in, be professional, do your job really well, and have a seat at the table. So just to quote a book, lean in.
Boom. All right, final word to you, Tracy.
Google yourself. No, kidding. I think everyone go home right now. No, I think definitely, if at all possible, I think the best advice, starting with getting an outside executive coach to help you get your feet off the ground. There's nothing more valuable than getting unbiased, unfiltered feedback, which ultimately will shape you and give you a roadmap to move forward. So,
thank you for joining us, ladies. We'll see you at the book signing or up here. Take care.
Hello. I love that now my mic works.
Thank you. Really quickly, I know we want to run away and I know there's lunch. I just want to encourage you all to talk to each other. I know you may have come here with your company. I know you may have come here with your company, but please get to know someone new and share your tips with them as well and learn from them as well. Yes? All right, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.